When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamblett, Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by the Dudley Boys to preview NXT tonight and a stacked card, Michael Hamblett, on a show that's got good now.
Yeah, I'd be tempted to call this What Culture's Gentle Praise Hour, but then that'd probably be best served for the review because we tend to only go about 40 minutes doing this preview. It's feeling like the time to be a bit kinder to this NXT product of late. Not all of it is particularly exhilarating, but then you see a card like this as a weekly television show where the matches actually feel built to rather than hotshot, and none of them feel quite takeover ready, but they're all going to be nice barriers for the takeover matches of the champions. And it does. It feels like the often ordinary but always functional NXT has made like a remarkably quick return to life since the end of the war. I can't force fireworks, but I can't be overly critical either.
Yeah, if I'm looking at this lineup tonight and I look at it in contrast to last week's lineup, you get an elegant sense of positioning certain programs on each show. You get the idea that it's not this completely deadening loop of the same goddamn matches. Even if the builds aren't great, they don't all pay them off in one big, come on, watch TakeOver, it's the best thing ever, splurge. Don't worry about that 6 weeks beforehand. We know it's crap, but we've got some obligation content to produce. Rough and Swerve was last week. We're getting Gonzalez and Martinez this week. We're getting Kushida versus Escobar this week. We got the payoff to the tag team title feud last week. It just feels like they're not just listlessly setting things up for a TakeOver, knowing that the marks are just the undiscerning. Isn't NXT great? Well, no, it isn't, because you're not in the trenches. You're not in the foxhole with us and Triple H, and you know how bloody dismal it can get. No, they are pacing everything so that there's at least one or two matches on virtually every week that feel earned, not just jizzed out.
Yeah,
I'm to compete with AEW Dynamite, or just like an hombre ready for the match to happen to take over. They've struck the balance, is what I'm saying, in a roundabout way. They're not just spaffing stuff out, or they're not just making you wait through the most boring programs to get there. It's got a nice pace, a nice zip, a nice bit of sequencing on this NXT show these days.
Yeah, I think what I like about it as well, and it's obviously far better than a Monday Night Raw, despite the amount of time Raw has on the air, because the stuff that I haven't mentioned in the preview and we're probably not even going to cover today, and that stuff that when it shows up, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that from last week or a couple of weeks ago, and I wonder what's going on with that. Now, I know we've moaned a little bit about like Tian Sha just being cast to the wayside, but there's like, okay, what's going on with Tony Storm and with Zoe Stark and with Cameron Grimes and people like that? Like, that's all stuff we're probably not going to talk about that much today about, And the fact that there's still stuff that you can remember and is going on, it doesn't need to be highlighted or recapped or anything like that, showcases, yeah, the improvements that NXT have made. Let's start, though, Hamflet, with that NXT Women's Championship match. Raquel Gonzalez defending the title against Mercedes Martinez. It seems a relatively straightforward retention here for Gonzalez, but possibly the development of the friction between Gonzalez and Dakota Kai could be featured here. And almost regardless of the result, it's going to be a really good match on paper, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I would hope so too. It's been booked with the express purpose of establishing Raquel Gonzalez as the dominant champion we saw her as before she even wore the belt, basically. Mercedes Martinez is kind of a perfect first opponent. She strikes the exact right balance between danger, like dangerous and disposable, ultimately. And that's exactly what Raquel Gonzalez needed right now. We are seeing like a battle of equal sizes and Gonzalez coming out as the stronger of the two. It won't just be a battle of her imposing her physical will on people as it has been of late. She's going to have to show that she's got smarts too. She's going to have to employ all the toughness that her size bring, but she's going to have to, you know, like outwit a super experienced wrestler in Mercedes Martinez. And the match should be of a high standard as a result. Martinez doesn't have too many bad ones because she just knows how to do this. She's an expert in construction. She knows how to wrestle her style of match and bring somebody into it, no matter of their shape and size. And as I say, going like for like, I think you're going to have this nice, like, mini Godzilla King Kong vibe before Gonzalez looks like a way more rounded champion by getting it done. By all means, tiptoe near the Dakota Kai stuff, but I personally wouldn't lay it on too thick here with it being a first shot. If anything, have Martinez just absolutely wallop Kai off the apron or something, so that ultimately she kind of wasn't really effective and Gonzalez had to get this done on her own. I don't need miscommunications or anything like that just yet. It's quite an important one for Gonzalez, this, in terms of perception. And from a quality standpoint, I think, like, it seems hard to imagine this not just going really well for what they want with Gonzalez.
Cleaner the better for me. I don't want to dick about with the tension, even though it's good to build it long, long, long term. Obviously, I'm a massive advocate for that form of storytelling. But for this match, Hamflet's right. Perfect is the perfect word to describe the choice of opponent. The idea is that Martinez has a similar physical stature and she towers above so many other women in this division. So if you book Gonzalez to tower over the biggest, like, visual threat in this division instantly, straight out the gate, it just creates, for those who pay attention anyway, like, a overall sense of plight for anybody else who eventually tries to reach up to Gonzalez after this. She's already beaten Martinez, and dangerous and disposable is absolutely perfect as well, because Martinez can absorb this loss, and I hope they recognize that and have her lose cleanly. Like, 12 to 15 minute proper hoss fight, and work it like a hoss fight as well. Don't get too cute. Don't impose too many tropes in this heavily produced wrestling brand that you have. Like, maximize the positives and minimize the negatives. Go full Paul Heyman with this. I want to see an actual slapper, like a proper physical war that doesn't do high spots just because it's more fun sometimes when you see people who really shouldn't be doing high spots. I don't want to see Lee versus Dijakovic here. I want to see just an ugly physical battle that's fought mostly, if not entirely, in the ring. I think they're powerful enough as performers to get that thread over. And the idea is, I would personally prefer to see Gonzalez go over like clean CM Punk's piss here, because they can go either direction with Gonzalez. She could play face or she could play heel, but at some point on this NXT show, because they've dicked around with interferences quite a bit, I want to see a heel who can just get it done, because that way, when someone gets it done at her expense, it means all the more.
Not the only championship match, of course, tonight. The Cruiserweight title also on the line. Kushida against Santos Escobar in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Really excited for this one, Sid, and I sense you are too.
Indeed. I'm a huge mark for the 2 out of 3 falls match. I'm not reducing my love of professional wrestling down to, oh, isn't it great when you don't think they're going to kick out and they do? But a near fall is thrilling. A near fall deployed well is undeniably thrilling, because if it wasn't, then the modern wrestling complexion would look totally and utterly different. Two out of three falls gives you so much like narrative ground to exploit that which is really great about modern pro wrestling. Because the idea is there are so many long matches these days that, particularly in New Japan, but infects every other company, that you know for a fact if you do a signature in 6 minutes, more often than not, you can tell by the way that, because they're so prevalent, that you can tell by the way everyone out of two matches is paced. Yeah, you're not going to get finished here. It's just not the way it's going to be. Wrestling's quite awfully homogenized in that regard. And only the very best matches, for me at least, get away with this nowadays. Like, I have to be super invested in the characters and the storyline to buy that kind of match, because I've just been deadened by it. Two out of three falls completely avoids that problem. I mean, they're a mainstay in Mexico for this reason. Like, it just piles on stakes within the context of the match. So I'm excited for it on that basis. You can get a near fall in 3 minutes and buy it. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. You also get the epic length match, theoretically, that sort of you have to work to get a good one. It's a load of bollocks, but they're having their cake and eating it too with a two out of three falls stipulation here. And I'm more than happy to eat all of it. Beyond that, it's Kushida and Escobar. They had a good, not fantastic match, with the idea that they're going to do this, hopefully, fantastic match down the line. The stipulation's perfect. Got two great wrestlers, one better than the other, but Escobar can go, absolutely. And beyond that, they finally, and they'll be so stupid if they don't do this, but they finally have the opportunity to do that which they've somehow contrived to fail to do, and that is get Legado del Fantasma right as actual stable members and heel bastards. So often they've just got involved and then, it doesn't matter because they were ejected from ringside and Escobar got it done. It takeover got involved and then it meant nothing. They can actually inform the drama of the first fall, get ejected when the heel wins the first fall, as the heel should.
Yeah.
And then, or the babyface should, and the heel does the cheating. Either way, they've got the goddamn opportunity to get it right with Legado del Fantasma. This could be Escobar's... Oh, actually, is a really good match.
My concerns are that they don't get that bit right. I've got minor reservations about how they use Legado del Fantasma specifically. And I guess anybody that is willing to play, you know, like running buddies for Kushida as a counter to them as well. MSK obviously will want their revenge. It's all fine, and you can absolutely do that kind of thing. You can fold all that into a two out of three falls match, but it's about where you place it. If it kind of like if it dares to undermine the drama of the third fall, and what you have is this big wacky stack that like backs Escobar into a roll up where Kushida gets the third fall because of a big brawl happening on the floor where the spots were really high and really impressive. But Escobar was just stood there by the ropes looking on, wondering what was going on. And that's how Kushida gets the win. It'll feel a bit empty at the end. So I would like to see them deployed properly. Yes, Legado del Fantasma look efficient and actually good at their jobs for once in a while. But maybe they go to the well twice and MSK spot it the second time and run them off or something like that. Do you know what I mean? I think definitely there's ways to do this that doesn't bury the match itself. Otherwise, it risks doing that. NXT's been prone to overbooking a lot, obviously, over the last sort of couple of years. But there's lots of precedent for really good two out of three falls matches. And only really the Toronto takeover main event is a particularly bad one. Otherwise, they tend to get it right. They tend to get the pacing spot on. I just hope they're not kind of slaves to their like madcap throw as many bodies out there as you can booking if they want to include the tag teams. I do think they will. I want to believe they'll deploy it right, but to be honest, I think the match lives and dies on that. I think we won't have much nice to say about it if it just becomes a bit too busy.
Yeah, you're right. that Toronto
match brings back memories, because I, even though I could barely see it because it was on my birthday and I've been drinking straight Disaronno for about the last 3 hours to get through the rest of that pay-per-view. I remember how bad that just iffy final third, fourth thing was. But yeah, I think this is easily going to be match of the night. I hope, as you guys allude to, that it is going to be people recognising how great Santos Escobar is. And yeah, I sense like we all agree. I mean, let me know if you disagree. Kushida retains the Cruiserweight Championship just because it seems the natural progression for that belt.
I would say so. And I think Santos Escobar, no one talks enough because it probably doesn't matter that much. He still gets some great action sometimes out of it. But it's the fact that NXT of all brands has a Cruiserweight title just is nonsensical to me when you can see Leon Ruff and Johnny Gargano having a feud over the North American title. Give us a goddamn break. Escobar can clearly move on from this scene and should, realistically, because there's been recent glimpses for me, and I've not really thought anything about this act, but I've seen recent glimpses that, no, they can be an actual episodic TV concern. So don't ostracize them anymore. Like, fold them into it properly. They can do, because it's not really a division. And Kushida is way, way better equipped to drag great matches out of Raw prospects than Escobar was. Kushida's your match guy in a match division. Escobar's an actual act that works more on TV. It's just common sense result for me. It's just how they extract the maximum drama without it getting too convoluted or illogical to arrive at this, the only result.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we talk about some of the other matches on tonight's show, I'd love to know your thoughts, Michael Hamper, on the rumoured return of In Your House. It was everywhere over the last few, hours, days. Who knows where it was? I think it was Fightful Select who first picked this up, and I glanced at it and thought, well, that's something I definitely need to know the thoughts of Michael Hamper on. Fightful Select claiming it is going to be NXT TakeOver In Your House 2, I suppose. 2021 version, who knows?
Aware of that. And it's Finn Balor doing a match against Karrion Kross for his rematch.
June 13th.
Instead of the big blue door, there's just going to be a cat flap he can walk through.
Yeah. Beware of the cat. No. Bret Hart's titling this one. It is Beware of Cat, just like it was Beware of Dog.
Now, A, what do you think about the potential return of this? And B, if you know who doesn't return, I'm not watching it.
It's pretty good. Like, I can't pretend I'm as excited as I was last year. I think, to be honest, I needed it. I needed that graphic to just keep me going one more month. We all have things in lockdown. So I need it a bit less than I needed it like this time last year. I welcome it, right? As if they're going to make this like an annual NXT TakeOver, I welcome it as an annual themed one because they did an outstanding job with the theme last year. They dressed that miserable empty Full Sail. Remember those NXT tapings? Oh. And like, just like awful. One of the worst atmospheres in any modern wrestling I can ever remember. And they obscured that for the night with Todd Pettengill's enthusiasm, with Adam Cole in an Ico Pro vest, and that amazing White House for Io Shirai to jump off. So I have a lot of faith that they'll get the set right again. Be interested.
Get it back.
Yeah, like other new wrestlers engage with it. Ones like, because I'm horribly biased to that period of time, all my issues with wrestlers that are fans of, say, like the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era goes away when they're fans of the new generation. I want to see them reference things because they're the things I like. So it's all rooted in my biases. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised that NXT wants to run In Your House 2, because In Your House 1 was dominated by Brett. So In Your House 2 was taken by Shawn Michaels and Jeff Jarrett. And look which two men are on the inside of that company now and which man's on the outside. Of course, I want to do an In Your House 2 and make it better than the first one. Fine. It genuinely, it's a splash of colour. It's a splash of light. It's a bit of levity. They'll see the funny side of things. NXT sort of needs this kind, if not In Your House, it needs this kind of stuff generally. Mm-hmm. So I'm in favour.
Yeah. I don't know. It can't replicate the magic. And I did feel a little bit magic the second time, because you're not going to get the same, imagine saying this to fans of a certain age, you're going to get the buzz of seeing Todd Pettengill again.
Oh, I will.
I mean, you will to a degree, but it's not like the same, because you didn't know you were going to get it, and you didn't know how accurately they were going to get everything, and how they were going to, you didn't know how well they were going to judge just how much people really like this. People just banded off like, yeah, man, Todd, I'm good. He was there for 5 weeks. Who cares? Like, Fantasia was whatever he's called. He was there for like 1 week. Who cares? These things do not dominate my memories, because the great wrestling and the intricate storytelling does. There's a bit more they can do that isn't just Todd Pettengill and the set. There are certain stipulations that they could go with, like a Caribbean strap.
Oh,
just as long as Dexter Lumis isn't in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have someone do a blade job in secret. Just little things like that.
I really hope they get Todd Pettengill back, because an interaction between him and, well, anyone, but Cameron Grimes in particular, would be just magic for me. And yeah, I'm excited for it to come back. It feels like, I just glanced at last year's card. It feels like a lot longer than, what, it's not even 12 months ago when I look at this.
With one exception, Wilborn, it's got pairings from last week's NXT main event in it. So, Scott Shotzi and Candice, they've just been fighting forever.
On the subject of last week's main event, Shotzi Blackheart would be bang up for doing the Jean-Pierre Lafitte bump.
Yes.
Just things like that, you know? And she'll do the Bret Hart bit at the start.
Yeah, I do hope that this comes through, and yeah, we get that next month. I think it'll be great. Sige, let's talk about Killian Dane versus Alexander Wolfe. Bit of a hospital pass for you here. I mean, it's more stuff with Imperium, I suppose. What do you, and Sanity, sort of. I don't really know what's going on here, and I suspect I'm in the same, you know, mindset as someone like a Drake Maverick, who's a bit confused by all this.
It's just so funny. Like, as Handful pointed out the other week, like, this isn't the Elite. There's no grand, rich history. There are no performers involved who are particularly suited to tell these kinds of stories through a melodrama lens. Not that the books were the other week, I should add. Any sense of, I can't do this to my old friend, is just going to be laughable. It's going to be absolutely laughable. And it's a weird continuation of a weird WWE trend where they just realized, hang on, we've cannibalized literally everything about the old formats, the old memories. We've given ourselves 10 to 15 years of utter crap to play around with in terms of continuity. So let's just like tell stories based on the weirdest kind of past, like Strowman and Wyatt having a feud, because what's the premise? What's the logic there? Why would Strowman ever come back into the Wyatt family fold ever, when he got exponentially more over the second he was separated from Bray Wyatt? So there's no investment there. Drew and Dolph having a match in 2020 after they didn't really do much in 2019, to be honest. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's another weird continuation of that. I don't know why they're doing it. All it does is expose the fact that, Christ, wasn't NXT better somehow with Sanity in it? All very odd. All very odd. I don't know or care who wins. I just find this weird.
there will be parties in the street if Nikki Cross finds her way to NXT to melodramatically get in the middle of her former Sanity partners. And one of them, real-life partner?
Yeah, because she's married to Killian Dane.
Yeah. If she sort of appears on NXT so that people can do the side-by-side pictures. It's a bit like when people fantasy book Jinder Mahal fighting for the title against Drew McIntyre, isn't it?
And that's going to happen.
It's all rooted
in a crap group.
It's all just rooted in nothing that means anything. But like, do you like the thing you remember? Do you want to get 15 likes and 2 retweets? Smash those 2 pictures next to each other and it's coming your way. Like, it just, yeah, it's not the most appealing match on paper, this. And I think they know that. Otherwise, they'd be dragging it out longer. I'll say that for them. This is not even like the semi-main event on a weekly television show. It's just a match on just an NXT TV show. So they're not putting this, like, not raising the stakes of this particularly. Walter's bollocking was sort of interesting because anything that dangles the carrot of Walter finally getting the chopping exhibition on Drake Maverick that we were robbed of, stupidly robbed of, or maybe even Walter Killian, maybe there's something interesting in Walter Killian Dane.
I'd like that.
Killian Dane with his top off is always more interesting anyway, so rip that top off and get your chest chopped. Like, I don't know, maybe there's something there, but then we could say that about every Imperium match because, like, Walter's the freebie, isn't he? Oh, maybe this is leading to a thing with Walter. What that's code for is we don't like anything until Walter shows up.
It's been weird the way they've played this out, but like you say, hopefully this is all a means to an end. And I cannot wait for Karrion Kross versus Austin Theory tonight as we conclude. Hamlet, what's he going to do to him? Because not only has he gone in, so, I can't believe that was real. Look at the size of those nails on Scarlett. But he twatted him with the belt last week. Him and Gargano beat the crap out of him and then drove away. Tonight, they kind of have to face the music, don't they?
Yeah, like, he's got to pulverise him and it's got to be convincing. Like, Karrion Kross, Michael Scott trying to get a hug off Ryan. Like, I need this. I really need this. It's like, Karrion, you can't say you need this. You're world champion. But, like, he really needs this. This isn't going to be like a match. I'm not asking for like 15 amazing technical minutes, but whatever this is needs to bang. Like, Karrion Kross needs to look like he wants to leave Austin Theory for dead. Johnny Gargano has to be at his like hot dogging best, somebody just absolutely terrified by everything Kross does. This is more presentation than match. And I think it's vital to the long-term success of Karrion Kross as champion on this show, because what's not going to contribute to that is all the promo interruptions from last week or a load of boring people lining themselves up as challengers. That's not going to get crossover. This might, but it really needs to be good. Like, really, really electrifyingly, oh, I want to see a gif of that again. Good. Like, that's on Karrion Kross to, like, lay his stuff in really hard. Theory, I'm sure, will bump himself for him. Gargano will bump or sell, you know, like, he might not run and help, but you're going to know that Karrion Kross is the scariest man in the world if Gargano's got his like acting boots on. But yeah, like, I think there's quite a lot of pressure on this.
I will say this about this. I think Karrion Kross is so impossible to like root for. It's so weird that he's playing the top babyface and he's barely even playing it, which just makes it dafter still. Like, the guy needs to turn heel yesterday, in my opinion. He's possibly the worst candidate to lead. He's certainly the worst candidate to lead NXT as a babyface in its entire history. One of the worst candidates to be a big babyface and just a wrestling company in general. Like, if you look through the old optics of what it is meant to have like a hot chick as your valet, it's like you're meant to think in your masculine mind, and I don't give a toss, but this is the general sense, the general principle of it all, dating back to however long, is that, God, I wish he should be shagging her. That should be me, this big fat bastard. I would like to do that, and I hate you for doing that. That's what it's meant to be. So on that basis, it's weird that he's a baby face. The fact that he's so humorless and intense, and like, you ever seen, I don't know what the film's from, right? But I should have researched this, but it's just popped into my head, so I apologize. You see, like, YouTube compilations, like, the best 100 most badass film lines in history. You go, oh, go on, I've got 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Press play. Ryan Philippe.
Yes.
Says something like, it's like Ryan Philippe trying to be tough, and it's similar to Karrion Kross trying to be tough, even though he looks tough. Hey, someone shut that C-U-N-T's head up before our F-starter or head.
Yes, I remember that.
It's just like, it's the most like pathetically badass line I've ever tried to, an actor's tried to say. It's Karrion Kross's essence. It's like, I just think he's the worst babyface. I think there's a good heel act in there somewhere underneath the ridiculous decoration. So I've got like chronic issues with him leading this brand, and I have done since he's been in it. And yet, Austin Theory provides the best opportunity for the sorely needed lightness to the presentation. And maybe Karrion Kross can laugh at him or something. Maybe it can be cathartic to watch this otherwise pummeling, intense stuff of Karrion Kross. Like, he's a good opponent for him. But it's just going to be weird if, in fact, this builds to Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed wins the North American title on TV in the meantime or whatever. Like, Johnny Gargano versus Karrion Kross and Johnny Gargano's playing the heel. It's just that's NXT 2021 in a nutshell for me.
I think that's got the In Your House main event written all over it. Honestly, Gargano will dance on the roof like he wanted to, but in that way where he thinks everybody is receiving him as Shawn Michaels and only he is. And I think you'll get that as your main event. Because, the Bronson Reed thing feels... This is the thing about the NXT booking, is that though there is something to admire about the formula, it's still a formula. And it does feel like, oh, it's Reed's third try now. This is perfect.
Is there any way that they ape Karrion Kross's entrance? I'm not saying like, but like a black and white entrance with Johnny Gargano mouthing and Austin Theory doing the... I mean, it might destroy Karrion Kross permanently, but I just think it'd be very entertaining. And like you say, he needs...
And just the way doing the Scarlet bit.
Yeah.
I'd love that. Ricky Stark's done it at Darby Allin. Lex Luger's done it at Sting, and it's one of the most underrated moments ever. This has happened so often in wrestling, and for me, it still doesn't happen often enough.
Yeah.
It is magic, the impersonation bit. I love it, and Will Warren, that is so inspired that I'm now going to get very sad when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Just got Candice LeRae screaming, "We're the way," instead of "Fall and Pray." No, Austin Theory as is Scarlet. That's even better.
Final thing to ask you, are we getting more Cameron Grimes, Ted DiBiase stuff tonight? And if so, what?
Ooh, they're not self-aware enough. And I don't know what's going on in Florida, but as far as I can tell, get what you like in it. It's fine. It's America. Sorry, Matt Reigns. I don't think you listen to the NXT preview anyway, so it's fine. Could they riff on the pool thing? And Cameron Grimes walks into a swimming pool with like a rubber dinghy and like armbands or just some ridiculous aesthetic to make him look like a tit. And then he wants to chuck his money around and be a dick like Ted DiBiase and walk into a pool and go kick them out. Oh, no, it's pre-booked slots. Oh, it's not open. I think Florida, the mere existence of Florida might have ruined this joke before it even got started. But one of my favorite things is in all of WWF history is that the manner in which Ted DiBiase delivers the line, "Get those brats out of that pool now." Because it's the perfect intersection of where DiBiase meets the Vince pitch, because it's him doing a McMahon line reading for the character that McMahon wanted to be. "Get those brats out of that pool now." So Cameron Grimes could do the most hysterical, high-pitched version of that and it not work. I don't know, I guess. They've got loads of material to work with. Basically, I want to see Ted DiBiase vibing to Tiesto, as was teased.
Yes!
Last week's was extra cute because he'd, like, you know, framing it as that where he's had the match and now at the after party, there's no Cameron Grimes match to speak of this week. So that pool thing plays quite nicely to that. Like, let's take a look at Cameron Grimes' really awful day. So, yeah, if not that, something along those lines, because he's not down to wrestle. So this is the way to keep him featured. So, yes, probably more Ted DiBiase. And why not? They are, they're two for two. So, you know, you wait until they've botched it twice before you don't want to see it again. So
yeah, I think so. I do want to see 1 week where he does get a leg up on Ted DiBiase and they do the whole did we just become best friends thing, but it's not yet, is it? Whether it's maybe it's something along the lines of, I'm just trying to keep it as simple as possible because those two are great ideas. It's maybe something on the lines of he arrives, Cameron Grimes arrives and parks in Ted DiBiase's spot and he's thinking, oh, I've got it this week, I've got it. Ted DiBiase's flown in on a helicopter or something. And he's like, oh yeah, no, I didn't need that space anyway. Just shouts at him, shot from the helicopter, pointing down, Grimes' hair and hat getting blown. I don't know. Just give me more of that sort of thing. I really enjoy it. Let us know your thoughts. Anyway, ahead of NXT tonight, great show to look forward to on paper at What Culture WWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The Raw review is available right now. The NXT review will be available tomorrow, as will the AEW Dynamite preview too. But for now, this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.